credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to finish up a few more of these little interesting factoids about the decline and fall of the American empire, if you will. You know, Wall Street is giving itself record bonuses and $100,000 wristwatches, and they're chowing down on their $150 Kobe beef hamburgers decorated with gold leaf. And meanwhile, out here in the real world, more than a third of all dam failures in the United States since 1874 have occurred in the last 10 years. That definitely indicates a trend line here. As you probably already heard, in Detroit, in order to save money, they're literally shutting off one-fifth of the city and say, well, there's no more police, there's no more fire. Alabama town has basically ended their pension system. The town of Clayton, Georgia, just shut down the entire bus system in order to save money. And it just goes on and on and on and on. The nation is grinding to a halt because the government, the finest government money can buy, is doing everything the wrong way to save the economy. You cannot pick up a building by the roof. You have to pick it up by the foundation in order to move and transport it. If you try and pick up a building by the roof, the building will shatter. And yet, official U.S. federal government policy has been to try and save the economy from the top by taking money from the working and middle classes and pouring it into Wall Street. And that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Current estimates of all the bailouts and TARP and everything, all the money that's been poured into Wall Street to try and save them from their recklessness and their gambling debts and their greed and stupidity, is now totaling about $16 trillion. That's a lot of money. Many people can't even get their mind around a number like $16 trillion. But it works out to, you know, over half a million per American. If the U.S. government had moved that money the other way, if instead of pouring $16 trillion all over the bankers, they had turned around and just said, we're going to give every American $500,000. The cost would have been the same, but there'd be a difference. Everybody would have paid their mortgages. There'd be no housing crisis. Everybody would have paid their credit cards. There would be no credit crisis, and the banks would still be in business. We could have saved all the money that went into Wall Street, and the banks went out of business anyway. If they'd put that same money into the hands of the American people would have paid their bills, and the banks would have been saved. They'd be buying American cars. There would have been no need for the GM and bailout and the rest of those things. They moved the money in exactly the wrong direction to save this economy. And that's why we have a country that is rotting before our very eyes. It's crumbling. It's like the United States of America was manufactured out of compressed rust. And still, they cannot see the end result of these policies. Now we're hearing that Bank of America, which is at the heart of this fraudulent foreclosure mortgage-backed security situation, has managed to get a get-out-of-jail-free card with all 50 of the states that file lawsuits. They're going to pay pennies on the dollar for the fraud that they committed. So what's happened here is Bank of America screwed the people of America for trillions of dollars. They're going to cut the state and federal governments in for a little piece of the action, a couple of percentage points. And the state, federal government's going to say, well, great, thanks for the money, and you can go on screwing the American people. We're not going to throw anybody in jail. We're not going to give the financial institutions any incentives to not continue the same behavior. That's really what it comes down to. If you have the entire financial system of the United States of America engaged in fraud and criminality, and you don't punish them for it, they're going to go on engaging in crime and criminality and fraud. We'll be right back.
The a Grainmaker grain mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm looking at the corporate media feed here, and of course, in their view, the important news of the day is, of course, the pretrial hearing for Michael Jackson's doctor. It's not even a trial. It's a pretrial hearing, and it's news. Michael Jackson's doctor, and he's a goofball. We've got another rock star dead of a drug overdose. Like, ooh, that's never happened before. And this is the big news. They had a story about apparently some woman called 911 after her boyfriend didn't propose when she wanted or thought he was going to. That apparently is big news in the eyes of the corporate media here. Now, they are talking about one story that I really do think is important, although not for the same reason that they are. There's this big controversy being fanned up over a new version of Mark Twain's classic Huckleberry Finn that is about to be released. And what it is some self-appointed guardian of public morality or perceptions, actually, has decided that it's time to change the language in the book in order to eliminate certain words that we're not supposed to know actually exist out there. And I'm opposed to this. Okay, and I'm opposed to, first of all, I'm opposed to giving words so much power that they can destroy people's lives, like a curse from Voldemort. I mean, that's the thing. The word we're talking about here is nigger. And I refuse to do the N-word pussyfooting around the circumstance. Okay, the word is nigger. It's slang. I would never direct it at a black person, but I think when we're discussing it as a subject, that we, it's legitimate to talk about. And there's this Fox News guy who got fired for that very, very point. You know, and this idea that, oh, this is a word that, that must not be uttered. This is Harry Potter mentality. You know, if you write the word, you know, Voldemort, it's going to leap out of the page and rip your face off. That's not the real world. In the real world, people have value. Ideas have value. Not individual words. That's a distraction. That's to get you to focus on the words and ignore the ideas behind them. Now, many years ago, Walt Disney came out with a film called Song of the South. It was one of the first ventures where they combined cartoon animation with live action, and it was based on a set of tales, the tales of Uncle Remus, which were out of the Black Southern antebellum culture. And this film was very well received when it was released, and it pioneered quite a few new technologies. It won the Academy Award for Best Original Song in 1947. Zippity Doo Dah, you've probably heard that song, but most people don't know where it came from. Come from this movie, Song of the South. Now, this film was lambasted during the start of the political correctness movement. It was lambasted for portraying a view of blacks that was considered inappropriate for that age. And they're right. It was inappropriate for that age, for the 1947s, but it was perfectly appropriate for the time depicted within the stories and within the movies. Okay? But there was such a public outcry that Disney has never re-released the movie. They never put it to video. They never put it to DVD. And in an irony, the film's two black stars, James Baskett and Glenn Leedy, never received the residuals or their place in film history that they deserve for their roles. So these self-described, you know, busybody, moral guardians, whatever, saying, you can't portray blacks that way, actually screwed over a couple of black actors who deserved recognition for the work that they did in the film. Now, this whole political correctness thing, and this attempt to rewrite Mark Twain or to bury Song of the South, it's really an expression of the American arrogance that we somehow have a right to judge all other nations and all other times by our present standards. Now, the case of Thomas Jefferson and Sally Heming is an excellent example. Anti-constitutionalists have seized on Jefferson's relationship with Hemings and his fathering of a child with her as a means to attack him and his morals and his principles and his writings. Okay? And if it were today that we had a politician keeping a slave and having sex with her, we would rightly condemn and jail that man. But in Jefferson's time, such behavior was considered acceptable and actually fairly commonplace. And we do not have a right to judge Thomas Jefferson's behavior in the 1700s by the standards we choose to live by today, any more than we have a right to impose by force and threat of war our standards of beliefs and behavior on the people of Afghanistan or Iraq. It's an arrogant projection of we're right and everybody else is wrong. That's that ugly American attitude, and we're even applying it against our own greats like Thomas Jefferson and Mark Twain. Now, I absolutely oppose any alteration of Huckleberry Finn, because when you make a change like that to the work, you're committing two crimes against the public. In the first, you've hijacked and defaced the author's original vision. Okay, people who are reading this altered version of Huckleberry Finn, they're not reading Mark Twain anymore. They're reading some regurgitation, reprocessing of Mark Twain into a new cultural paradigm. And we lose the insights and the subtle nuances that Mark Twain put in the original. We should not alter Huckleberry Finn to use up-to-date language any more than we should add an up-to-date hairstyle onto the Mona Lisa. It distracts from, it distorts, it vandalizes the artist's original creation. Now, the second concern I have is that if we change anything, whether it's Song of the South, Huckleberry Finn, any of these things, we're committing a theft of history from the future, because future generations, when they're reading these books, they'll be reading about our view of those times, not the original times themselves. We're literally cutting off the future from their past. You know, we've got these people running around saying, oh, we should change this to reflect our current views and values. You don't have that right. You don't know what those original artists were thinking and seeing and feeling because you didn't live in those times. And what I think is these efforts to repackage ancient works or creative works, whether it's Shakespeare or even the spelling errors in the Declaration of Independence, it's an attempt to rewrite history to make it look like it's the present time in order to sell this idea that how we live today is the way it's always been. You know, we don't talk anymore about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings because we want you to think that the founding fathers lived in a society exactly like what we have today as a way to validate that this is the way things are supposed to be. And it isn't. America in the 1700s was very, very different than it is today. And we have, you know, throughout history, we've seen this effort by the ruling classes to obfuscate, to bury the history that was really there and replace it with something else in order to continue to sell the lie that the way we're living is the way it's always been. When Pompeii was first discovered at the foot of Vesuvius and they started excavating down, they found artworks of a highly erotic nature, including a very famous statue of Pan and a goat. These artworks were locked away from the public because the government of the time that was in charge of these excavations didn't want the public to get a view of ancient Pompeii where they were clearly living with a different set of moral values than the contemporary time when the artwork was being discovered. The goal was for everybody to think that, oh, we're the inheritors of the ancient Greek and ancient Roman cultures. They live just the way that we do. We just do it better than they do. And that is definitely, definitely not the case. I mean, we Marco Polo was locked up by the Dominicans because they didn't want their culture to see that there was an alternative out there in China, a vast and amazing civilization that existed without even any knowledge of Christianity. That's why they locked him up. We have today people talking about in collections of Shakespeare's plays, they think Merchant of Venice should be left out because of how it portrays Shylock. And maybe we don't want to talk about that kind of a portrayal of Jewish merchants today as inappropriate, but it was appropriate for Shakespeare's time, and we shouldn't tinker with that. Or we're cheating future generations by concealing real history from them. And if you let that keep going, where everything that has ever been done throughout history is tinkered with and altered in order to bring it into line with current political dogma, then we don't have a history at all. We just have a collection of shared societal delusions and myths and beliefs on which future atrocities are going to be built. He who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. A good reason to leave Huckleberry Finn exactly the way it is right now is as a warning that we should not allow such abuses to ever happen again. So, now this gets us on to the story of this Fox News reporter. And as you know, this is going to trial because this Fox News reporter, Tom Burlington, was involved. He was fired for saying the word nigger in a production meeting. And the context of this is really important because they were talking about a story where the ACLU had performed a symbolic burial of the word. It's an unword. We're erasing it from whatever. And so he made a comment in the meeting about, well, is it okay to use the word nigger anymore? And got fired for it. And he filed suit because apparently black people say and use this word all the time, and it's not considered an issue, but he used it in a production meeting in the context of talking about the word itself. He didn't call anybody that name, and he still got fired. And we're in a situation right now where words are given power over people that is completely undeserved. We're going to take a break. We'll be continuing this right after these words from our sponsors.
Oh. estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about this hair trigger hypersensitivity that we're seeing in the media and in politics regarding what they like to call the N-word, because they're so terrified that Satan is going to take them instantly that they don't want to actually use the word nigger. And again, as I said, we're not using it to direct at any person. We're discussing the word itself and its societal implications. Now, back in 1999, David Howard, who was a white man, aide to Anthony Williams, the black mayor of Washington, D.C., used the word niggardly in reference to a budget. Now, the word niggardly actually means stingy. And even though it sounds like nigger, they've got nothing to do with each other. The etymologies of the words are completely different. It's just a coincidence that they happen to sound somewhat alike. That's it. But he was forced from his job with a hue and cry of racist and this hysterical overreaction. If you really think about it, this guy lost his job because the people listening to him were stupid idiots who didn't understand the word he said. This man lost his job because the population around him were clueless and uneducated, who didn't know the word niggardly means cheap and has nothing to do with a racial slur. And he still lost his job over it. That's that hypersensitivity that I'm talking about. And then when we have this Tom Burlington over at Fox News, who is asking a serious question about whether it's acceptable to use that word or not, and gets fired for it. Have we gone nuts over this stuff? Now, this gets back to a video that I shot. I had a chance to interview Dwayne Chapman, who's the star of Dog the Bounty Hunter. And as you probably remember, he lost his show briefly from A&E because a disgruntled family member got him on tape using the N-word in a very private moment of anger. Dog did not say this in public. He did not say it on his show. He did not get out there on the street corner and start screaming epithets. It was a private phone conversation. Now, we all say things in private that we don't want made public. When I'm going to the restroom in the middle of the night and it's dark and I stub my toe, I will say a lot of things that I'm very glad are not repeated over this radio, because we will lose our license. We have to respect there are certain private moments. But it went public, and Dog the Bounty Hunter was taken off the air. And then eventually, after enough money was handed out to various anti-racist charitable groups and whatnot, Dog was allowed back on the air. And I interviewed Dog the Bounty Hunter, and also they had this other representative of one of these groups, and I'm blanking on his name. You can look at the video. And I asked them both the same question. Are we not giving words way too much power? You know, because if we are getting so obsessed with political correctness on individual words, we blind ourselves to the meanings behind the collections of words. We're being trained and conditioned to see only trees made of individual words and to not be able to see the forest of ideas beyond. We're totally focused on individual words to make sure they're correct usage, and we're not paying attention to the ideas of what's going on behind them. And I think that may be intentional. People are important. Ideas are important. Words are just words. They can be used to hurt people. But isn't that because we believe them to be hurtful? If we take that power back from the word and we say it doesn't mean anything, if we go to those people who say that you are supposed to be shocked when you hear certain words like anti-Semite, that's the one that they're still trying to use all over the place. If we say it doesn't mean anything anymore, it's been overused for one thing, then we take that power away, and the word no longer has the power to inflict hurt or pain. And more importantly, we prove that we value people above words, and certainly above political correctness. All right, we got a caller on the line, Ted in Mississippi. Aloha, Ted. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to get back to the infrastructure thing, because I think that deeds are more important than words sometimes. I think we need to have some good roads. I bounced back and forth between South Florida and Mississippi, and even in Boca Raton, they're using blacktop instead of concrete on the roads as they repair them, and there were fewer streetlights. They were dimmer, and every other one was lit even over Christmas. Up in Mississippi, it's even worse. There's just huge gaping potholes, and I think blacktop is the asphalt. That thick black stuff is what they're using more than anything anymore. There's no concrete, except this one place I happen to visit every once in a while. This NASA base in South Mississippi, and at the front gate, it's 3-foot concrete with metal, with wire mesh, and they have like 3-ton concrete blocks at the entrance. They're just, it's just, I don't know, it's like Fort Knox.
Well, okay, we're coming to the end of this segment. Don't go away. I want to talk about the road building when we come back, and it has to do, it's ultimately, it's a political situation that we're all dealing with. So we should be hearing music here any second if our clock is back on. There it is. And all right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Ted in Mississippi about the crumbling infrastructure and the road situation. If you ever get a chance to go to Germany and you look at those Autobahns, they were built to last 50 years, and many of them are still fully operational and have not needed any kind of major upgrades since they were originally laid down. And the irony of that is the Autobahn system was started by Adolf Hitler. He had actually seen the beginnings of the American interstate system and said, oh, we've got to have one of those too, but we're Germans, we'd make it better. And you know, they did. And a lot of the American interstate system, as it was built on concrete foundations and was very well engineered. And it's very, very good roads. But as we get into this road situation, politics comes to play. And these contracts are very often handed out to donors, to cronies, and the quality of the workmanship isn't there. Now, you can have an asphalt road that holds together based on the quality of the materials being used and also the way the roadbed is prepared. Now, one of the reasons that we have such a problem with potholes in this state, and this is true everywhere, this is the mechanism, if they simply grade off the road flat and put the asphalt down, you immediately are setting up the road to start crumbling apart in the space of a few years. because inevitably, as it rains, water will leak down through gaps in the asphalt and will start washing away silt and sand and gravel underneath the road until you have a void. And sooner or later, a car or truck running over the asphalt above the void punches it in, instant pothole. So they come out.
Yes, and freezing doesn't help either, because when the water goes in, it expands and then it makes a larger and larger hole after a couple of years. You have these huge potholes.
Well, the bottom line is, if the road bed was prepared properly, you know, with gravel and good drainage, so that you could avoid that problem, and then you put the asphalt on that, that will hold up. But again, most of the people getting these road contracts, it's basically a ripoff. You know, they pour down the asphalt, they lay the paint on there, and they know in 5 years' time it'll need repair, and they'll come back and they'll get another contract. And especially with all the unionization of the road workers, this becomes a very powerful donor and voting block, and politicians don't want to tinker with that. And that's why, in the United States, the average lifespan of a road is only about 5 years, compared with 50 in Germany.
There's a local fat cat up here in Mississippi that gets all the contracts to build the roads, and they really don't last. I think it's planned obsolescence. May I ask you a question, Mike?
Sure.
I had a long discussion with a pilot from Chevron a few days ago, and he was talking about bug out bags and social unrest, and we discussed Moody's prediction of social unrest and, you know, social breakdown, because things, you know, and I talked to a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that are very, very concerned. People that are retired or nearing retirement, people that are affluent. And they are very, very concerned. And the pilot asked me what I'm doing to prepare, and I said, "Well, I'm just increasing my circle of friends. I'm just solidifying my friendships. I'm developing people who can depend on me, who I can depend on." I'm wondering what you would tell your listeners.
Actually, that's pretty good advice you've come up with here, because how we will, and again, we go back and we look at the collapse of the Soviet Union and what they had to go through before the formation of the Russian republics, and what they had to do to get their country on track, which is to get rid of all the oligarchs, kick them all back to Israel, and you know, and get away from that private central bank model. And so what will get us through the period of confusion best is a sense of local community. To find people in your immediate area that have what you need, to come up with something yourself that you can barter or trade to them, some service that you provide to your community, carpentry, plumbing, electrical. Right now, our country is so psychotic and schizophrenic. People who are able to do absolutely nothing at all are held up as social heroes and ideals, and people who can actually fix things like computers and plumbing and electrical and everything, we look down on them as being somehow inferior. Oh, he can actually put a washer in a faucet. He must be a tradesman or a worker. And it's an absurd situation in a society as dependent on infrastructure as ours that we should be looking at the people who know how to make things work, to fix them, to keep them working. We should be, you know, valuing and respecting and treasuring those people and taking care of them and make sure that they're not leaving for some other country, you know, where they're going to be treated more in accord with what they're able to do. But unfortunately, our government, and especially Wall Street, their attitude toward the people who can actually make things work is that they're hired labor, they're hourly, they're minimum wage, and they're, you know, they're technoids and they're tradesmen and, you know, dime a dozen. It's this kind of dismissive attitude, and we wind up with a country, you know, when we're treating, you know, Wall Street bankers as gods, no matter how bad they are. And, you know, we dismiss plumbers no matter what kind of, how good the work they do. We wind up with a society whose economy and plumbing will not hold any water, which is kind of what's going on right now. Teddy, you still there? He went. All right. In a nutshell, when we get into that next phase of our history, okay, we need to pull away from this whole big megacity situation. We need to start developing small communities where everybody knows everybody. Everybody has something they contribute to the common good. And we just work together to get through the mess and, you know, get away from that private central bank. You know, communities are going to have to set up their own monetary units. It can be done. It was done during the Great Depression, was done during the Civil War, was done during the American Revolution. It can work. We just need to remember the lessons that we've learned through this very painful time and say, we cannot allow them to happen again. No more private central banks. Three strikes and you are out. Going to go back to the phones. Don in Wisconsin. Aloha, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I called in yesterday too close to the end of the show, and you weren't
That's
able
right,
to take the call. And what I was looking for is you made mention of some last survivor of the French resistance during the Nazi Second World War had put together some kind of a paper or I don't know what it was, but you
it's
said it was translated from French to English, and I went on your web page, and I went through the first page. I couldn't find it, and I looked like there's 8 or 9 pages down there. I really didn't know what the title was. I didn't know what I was looking for.
Well, I'll tell you, let me see if I can pull that up for you right now, but I've got another article about it today. The thing is a publishing phenomenon in France. It's only 13 pages, and it's written by this guy who was one of the last surviving members of the French underground. And let's see if I can find this right now for you. But basically what he's doing is... look for a thing, the little red book that swept France, and the title of the pamphlet itself is Indignez-vous, which translates Cry Out. It is a pamphlet written by this French resistance hero, Stéphane Hessel, and it's smashing all publishing records in France. The book urges the French, and basically everyone else, to recapture the wartime spirit of resistance to the Nazis by rejecting the insolent, selfish power of money and bankers and defending modern democracy. In other words, he's saying it's time to stand up to the bankers, the private central banks, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, all of these people who grab all the money from the rest of the world, driving us down into poverty so that they can have more decoration. They are the new Nazis. We must recognize them for that, and we must stand up and be in a resistance against tyranny. And it's apparently found a huge resonance around the world.
Which page on your website, there's multiplicity of pages there, which page is it on?
Okay, well, the little red book that swept France is right on page one right now. In fact, it's right about parallel with the picture of the guy at Abu Ghraib, you know, with the wires sticking off of him and everything. Look for the UnitedWeStrike.com banner in the left margin. At the moment, the little red book is next to it. And after today's show, I'll put the translation back up at the top of the page, okay?
Well, you mean it's not translated now?
Well, the translation article has moved on to one of the other pages. I'll have to relocate it and bump it to the top. But the article about the little red book and its name and author is on the front page right now, right next to the United We Strike logo.
Okay, but I can't download it into English right now.
Well, you can, but I'm going to have to replace the link after the show, okay?
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, the What Really Happened website does change minute to minute to minute to minute. And so you can't say, yes, it's here, and expect that to be valid 30 minutes from now. So I will find the English translation of that pamphlet, and I will restore it to the top of the front page following today's show, and we'll take a look at that. All righty, let's get back to some other situations here. We were talking about, since we're talking about the bankers, and we've got this wonderful article, Bankers Gone Wild, that's at the top of the What Really Happened page. We've got this, how the bankers destroyed the American and European Union economies with their greed. And now we're getting this realization that after all they did, all that they did with the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities, all the money that they lost, all the money that had to be taken from the American people and given to them, they're still going to walk away from their crimes scot-free. People are beginning to stand up and say that this Bank of America settlement with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and with all 50 of the states lets them walk away from their criminality. And they're not going to go to jail. They're not even going to be in a courtroom. And they get to keep most of the money. They bought their way out of prison by paying back a few pennies for every dollar that they stole. And everybody knows that's what they did.
Things were being done which were certainly illegal and clearly criminal in certain cases, which in fraud is a fact. Fraud creates very considerable instability in competitive markets. If you cannot trust your counterparties, it won't work. And indeed, we saw that it didn't.
Now, that's Alan Greenspan, and that little sound clip came from the meeting at Jekyll Island this last year, where they celebrated the 100th anniversary of the creation of the Federal Reserve. And Alan Greenspan sat up there on the stage with the other people and said, crimes are being committed. It's a dishonest, fraudulent system. Now, what is interesting about this one article, B of A Settlement, Another Taxpayer Ripoff, in there it admits what I have been saying for months now. The case that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were pursuing was to force Bank of America to repurchase the bad, fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. This settlement lets Bank of America off the hook. They don't have to buy back the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities they sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So where is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going to make up the losses from those frauds? It's going to come out of your taxes. It's going to come out of your taxes because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government-sponsored enterprises. If they lose money, they go to the government. They get money from the government to cover their losses. So Bank of America just ripped off the taxpayers one more time. Now, they're not entirely off the hook because here in the United States of America, Wall Street may be able to get a get-out-of-jail-free card from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and from the 50 states, but they're not off the hook with all the foreign banks and investment companies that they sold these fraudulent mortgage-backed securities to. And those banks are suing and threatening to force repurchases, which is why Bank of America and all the other banks caught in this mess have gone on this binge of foreclosures. That monthly payment that you're making for the next 15 to 20 years does not do the bankers any good. They need the entire value of your house right now on their balance sheets or they're insolvent. They're pulling every dirty trick that they can to stay afloat, and the government is helping them do it. I reprised to the front of whatreallyhappened.com this video where Damon Silvers, in these congressional hearings into the foreclosure mess, and he lays it right out, and he says, we can deal responsibly with the foreclosure crisis, or we can preserve the capital structure of the banks. We cannot do both. Looking back, looking at this pennies on the dollar settlement for Bank of America, it is obvious which way the government of the United States is going. They're going to preserve the banks. They're going to let you be sacrificed. They're going to let your home be taken. They're going to let you freeze to death in the streets of America to protect the banks. Now, I don't know about you, but I will not live under a government that values gold more than blood. I absolutely will not do that, because when you have a government that values gold more than blood, inevitably they will spill your children's blood for more gold, which is what's going on in Iraq and Pakistan and soon to be Iran. We got lots of people we're not using for anything else. Let's send them over there and steal the oil and steal the opium and steal the molybdenum and everything else that's over there. Meanwhile, legislators in at least 10 states have introduced bills to allow state commerce to be conducted in hard currency of gold and silver. No reserve, no fiat currency. They're actually talking about minting state gold and silver coins to allow commerce within the state to be conducted independent of the Federal Reserve. I have no doubt the Federal Reserve is going to try and shut this down. Remember how hard they came down on the Liberty Dollar and the Ron Paul Dollar, and those were coined in silver and gold. And I think their mistake was putting Ron Paul's picture on the coin, because then George Bush got pissed off and said, you take that thing away. They're going to put a president's face on a coin. It's got to be mine. And we've seen all across America, alternative money is in common usage, trade dollars. I've got trade dollars from Catalina and Maui and a few others. And they're perfectly legal to use because everybody agrees that's the coinage of the realm. But the federal government's attitude is you will use the Federal Reserve currency and you will not use anything else, because by golly, when we sell you into slavery to the bankers, you stay a slave. And at least 10 states have stood up and said, actually, no, we're going to do what Lincoln did. We're going to do what John F. Kennedy did. And the only way you'll stop us is you're going to have to shoot us, which has happened before, but we know you're coming this time. Now, if you have been wondering why you seem to have less paper on your paper towels in the kitchen or boxes of Kleenex or a roll of toilet tissue in the bathroom or why things seem to be just a little bit smaller and not quite fit anymore, it's not your imagination. As the economy continues to decline, products in this country are being downsized. You're getting just a little bit less. They're trying to walk a thin line between raising the prices horrendously and simply selling you less for the same price you paid before in the hopes that you won't notice. I noticed it because we have one of these toilet paper holders in the bathroom that just grabs the roll from either end. Same thing with the paper towel holder in the kitchen. It's just the two little things from the end. And now those rolls pull right out because they've been shortened just a little bit. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with our last segment of today's show after these words from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And the TSA is once again in the news, or at least on the alternative media, where we have reported about where they're copying off your credit cards, they're taking your money. In my case, they dropped a laptop. Remember that story a while back where there was this woman who had TSA felt was a little too much money, so they called her husband and said, "We think your wife may be embezzling from you," and it turned out she wasn't. And the husband got all upset and just caused all kinds of problems. Along with exposing you to terahertz radiation and x-rays and groping and fondling your tender spots here with their disease-covered gloves. Well, now, Montel Williams, former TV host, was going through an airport and TSA searched his luggage and they found a marijuana pipe, the sort of a pipe that you would smoke marijuana in. Get a little, you know, see them at the head shops and things like that. And I'm not saying that Montel Williams, you know, was, you know, innocent or anything like that. Possession of paraphernalia is illegal. They don't have to catch you with the drugs, just the drug paraphernalia is a criminal act, as Tommy Chong found out. But the point is, what is TSA supposed to be doing? I mean, now they're searching your MP3 players for pirate music. They're searching your laptops for pirated software. I mean, I have a special travel laptop so that they can't get their hands on my clients' data from TV shows and films that I worked on. And all this other stuff that's going on. I thought TSA was about protecting us from Osama bin Laden, even though he's been dead for almost 10 years. And now we find out they're sort of acting like they're DEA, they're financial inspectors, they're looking, you know, checking to see if you're embezzling from your husband. They're doing these physical exams and poking and prodding and everything. They're completely out of control. And I'm not saying that Montel Williams is innocent, but TSA is way out of their mandate doing any of this stuff. Their mandate is to find bombs and explosives and weapons being smuggled onto airplanes for purposes of terror. They have no business looking in our laptops, our MP3 players, or our marijuana pipes. It's none of their business. But they're going to go on doing it because since they can't actually find any terrorists, they're trying to change their mission in order to justify their continuing paychecks here. Now, interestingly enough, over in Russia, we were talking about Vladimir Putin, and you know something? I know he's ex-KGB, and he's a Russian, and he's a commie, and we're supposed to hate him, but, you know, the things that he does, you know, I'm really liking. Getting rid of the oligarchs was definitely a big plus. Getting rid of the oligarchs allowed Russia, the new Russian republics, to pay off their national debt in 3 years. The United States hasn't paid off its national debt in 100 years since the creation of the Federal Reserve. Putin does it in 3. Now, apparently following a diss from somebody at Microsoft, Putin has basically told all Russian government computers to get rid of Windows. And they're going to go Linux, open source. Everything's going to be open source Linux on their computers. I don't know that Microsoft will necessarily miss the money, but you got to admire the guy for standing up to them like that. All right, that's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock Central here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until tomorrow, stay safe, stay well, drive carefully, and aloha, America.